forest. So welcome to Champion Forest. No, Baptist. Please help me here. Welcome to Champion Forest Baptist Church. What were you thinking I was thinking? Baptist. I get it. I didn't give you enough information to go along with me. My bad. Poor leadership on my part. We're a Baptist church. I don't know if you knew that. And while we don't stand up every Sunday and say, Baptist, because we'd rather say Jesus. But we are, and we do, as you can see from that short little highlight video, and every Sunday practically here at Champion Forest Baptist Church, that we do sort of make a big deal about baptisms. And some people say, Pastor, why do y'all make such a big deal about baptism? Is it because you're Baptist and Baptists have to baptize to be Baptist, or you lose your card or something? There's like a quota or something like minimum where they won't call you Baptist anymore if you don't baptize a certain number of people. Is that it? No. At least they hadn't told me if it is. In fact, the reason that Baptist churches make such a big deal about baptism is because the Bible makes a big deal about baptisms. And today I want us to talk a little bit about baptism, because here's the thing. We've had, as we've seen already, tremendous summer with vacation Bible schools, with camps and events and trips and activities where hundreds of people have come to believe in Jesus Christ, hearing the gospel clearly, some for the very first time. And in fact, when we had this little exciting time called Who's Your One, a great many of us, I hope most of us, were able, in fact, to identify someone that God has put in our world, in our life, that we could invest in, build a relationship with, and share the gospel with. And in fact, in this season, at this location of Champions, we had 55 people come on one Sunday and give their heart and life to Jesus in response to the gospel. Now, really, that's just incredible, but not unexpected, because you know you typically hit what you're looking at or what you're aiming at is typically, you know. And so we're talking about souls, and we're talking about the gospel, and we talk a lot about Jesus and trusting in Him. No doubt, right now in the season of our church, we have hundreds of people, even in this very service right now, who believe in Jesus, who are trusting in Him, who have turned to Him and have truly been saved, but are now considering that next step of what Baptists tend to make a big deal out of, baptism. So if you'll allow me today to have a conversation with you about baptism. And if you've been baptized already here at Champion Forest or in another church in the similar way, I want you not to check out on me. Don't get your phone out and start. Don't do that. Stay with me, because if you're Baptist, then certainly sooner or later somebody's going to say, so why do you Baptists make such a big deal about baptism? You'll want to be able to answer biblically the question why. First of all, let me say it's not because we're Baptist. It's because the Bible makes a big deal about baptism. In fact, you can read the scriptures. If you start in Luke 3, for example, you'll see that Jesus Himself was baptized. Now, how many of you want to follow Jesus? Let me see. Hands. All right, there you go. Jesus did something that if we're following Him, we want to do. And Jesus was baptized. Do you know that Jesus and His disciples then baptized their followers? In fact, the Bible tells us that as many as John the Baptist baptized, including Jesus, Jesus and His disciples baptized more, not less. You can find that in John 3 and 4. Jesus commanded His followers to baptize and new followers to be baptized. In fact, it's called the Great Commission from Matthew chapter 28. When Jesus said, go therefore and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So Jesus' first act, as we have really publicly, He's baptized, and His last commission or the instructions or the marching orders of the church include baptizing followers of Jesus and followers of Jesus being baptized. Peter preached that great Pentecost sermon when he said, repent and be baptized. Paul, the apostle who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, many of whose letters we read and study, was himself baptized after his conversion experience. Remember, he had that life-changing experience on the road. And Jesus revealed himself to Paul, and Paul abandoned his hostility towards Christ and the church and became the apostle of the church to the Gentiles. And that turning point included baptism. In fact, when he regained his sight and was getting a vision for what God had saved him to do, baptism was a very important part of that turning in his life. And so we see in the scriptures that baptism is a really big deal. That's why it's a big deal for Baptists. Today I want to point out one more example of baptism in the New Testament. If you have a Bible, turn with me to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, and you'll find there this wonderful story of Philip, the baptizer, as it is in the story, and the one being baptized is known as the Ethiopian eunuch. And when you found that, let me give you, for the sake of time, just sort of the context that Philip has been dispatched, as it were, on mission, and the gospel now is jumping the banks of Jerusalem and into Judea, Samaria, and will go to the ends of the earth. But along the way, Philip comes upon a man who's in his chariot. He's reading the scroll of Isaiah, and he has questions. And Philip comes along beside him and says, "Do you know what you're reading?" And the man says, "Well, how could I know unless someone guides me?" Verse 31 tells us. And at that point, Philip jumped in there and gave him a little Bible lesson, a little history lesson, a little gospel lesson, and told him that it's Jesus who was like the sheep led to the slaughter. And it was Jesus who, like a lamb before his shears, was silent and opened not his mouth. It was Jesus in his humiliation that justice denied to him. Who can describe the generation of Jesus? In other words, Philip is unpacking or exposing the text and telling this man about Jesus, whose life was taken away from the earth. In fact, verse 34, the eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, which is a good thing for Christians to do. Hello? And beginning with the scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus, the gospel. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me? Why shouldn't I be baptized? What's keeping me from the next step of obedience? Now that I know this good news of Jesus, now that I know who the prophet Isaiah was telling us about, now that I know all that he's come to do and has done, I believe that. And I want to be with Jesus, and I want to follow Jesus because I believe in Jesus." And then he sees some water and he says, "Hey, can I do that? Can we do it here? Can we take this step now? Philip, will you baptize me?" What a great question. Why shouldn't I? What prevents me from being baptized? And in verse 38, "And he commanded the chariot to stop," because he was large and in charge, "and they both went down into the water." Did you get the emphasis there? They went down into the water. Boy, I could get in trouble right here, but I'll just keep going. Philip and the eunuch. And he baptized him. Philip baptized him. "And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away," because he had more mission and ministry work to do. "And the eunuch saw him no more, but went on his way." How did he go? Rejoicing. He went on his way rejoicing. And so we rejoice when someone rejoices, following Jesus, not only in faith, but then through believers' baptism. I suppose if we'd have been there and the man had asked us the question, "Why shouldn't I be baptized?" we could have perhaps offered him a few reasons why he should not have been baptized. For example, "You're a very important person, Mr. Eunuch. Mr. Man of Ethiopia, you are a powerful person and very important, and you have your career to think about, and you have your reputation to consider. And what if someone else thinks less of you for following in this Jesus in this very powerful way?" We might have said to him, "You probably should not be baptized because of who you are and how important and powerful you are." Or we might have just simply said, "Aren't you busy? I mean, you're on your way back home. You have work to get back to. You have responsibilities with authority. And you're a busy kind of guy. Maybe this isn't the most convenient time, especially in this place. I mean, this must have been sort of a wilderness kind of environment, as it were. And that's just a puddle of water. I mean,
Do it right. Maybe wait till next year when you come back to Jerusalem, to the temple to worship. That would be a good time to do it. So you're so busy, this isn't the most opportune time. Just put it off. You can get to it later. Or we might have suggested to him that you believe in Jesus and you've been saved and you're a very religious person. You're dedicated. That's why you made this long journey to Jerusalem to worship a God you didn't even know. So you got the big box checked. This other is just a little box. It's not that big of a deal. It's not that important. Do you really need to do that? And do you really need to do it here and now and in this way? And should you be thinking about this? We perhaps could have offered, in answer to his questions, plenty of reasons why he should not have been baptized. And yet, this very important, powerful person who no doubt was busy on his way somewhere to do something very important and who was already a believer by this point chose instead of the reasons not to, came to the first water he could find and said, "Hey, here's water." And his "why shouldn't I be baptized" was not a searching for good reasons not to be. It was sort of an obvious rhetorical device of a kind of question to say, "Hey, why not?" Which is exactly the way to turn this question on itself, is for so many people that say, "Why would I do that?" The right answer is, "Well, why wouldn't you? Why should I? Why shouldn't you?" Because there are lots of good reasons not to follow the Lord Jesus in believer's baptism. And perhaps all of us at one time or another have used any number of those reasons. But let me turn the question on us in the way I think the Ethiopian eunuch was using it. Why shouldn't I? Of course I would. I have every reason in the world to follow Jesus in believer's baptism in this way. I don't know if he and Philip had this conversation, but certainly he by now would have perhaps been experienced with the fact that Jesus was baptized, as we discussed, that he's commanded that we should be baptized, the Great Commission's what had Philip where he was when he was with the Ethiopian eunuch. And certainly the eunuch was not ashamed, even in front of his entourage as a very powerful and important person, he's willing to command that the chariot stop. And he went down into the water. No doubt those people were all gathered there on the bank watching their boss get dunked, because he said, "Why shouldn't I?" No doubt he wanted to identify with Jesus and with these believers who were following Jesus and the way Jesus lived and walked and worked. And no doubt he wanted to make God smile, which is exactly what happened when Jesus himself was baptized. Do you remember the story? It's in the Gospels that Jesus was baptized in the Jordan by John the Baptist. When he came up out of the water, note, when he came up out of the water, the heavens opened and there was a voice, the voice of God, and he said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Can I just suggest to you that in that single story and by that single example, we know baptism as a way of identifying with Christ, as a way of giving testimony of Christ and the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ, of publicly and unashamedly declaring our faith in Jesus and our belief in God, as a way of identifying with the church, makes God smile. And so the Ethiopian eunuch was baptized, and he went straight down into the water and came up and went on his way, how? Rejoicing. I'm happy to say that in almost 30 years of ministry, and literally, I don't know, so many people baptized, I've never once ever had anyone come up to me afterwards and said, "I am so mad. Preacher, I am fit to be tied. I'm telling you, I didn't want to get wet. My makeup's running, my hair's all messed up. I came up spittering and sputtering, got water up my nose, and that water was too hot, or that water was too cold, or did you see that big old snake swimming around down in there? Did you see that alligator coming?" Not one time ever has anybody who's ever been baptized come back to me and said, "I regret it." Not one time. But in fact, literally, hundreds and if not thousands of people who follow Jesus in believer's baptism come up with a smile on their face and head out that baptistry or out of that creek or out of that ocean, or out of that lake, or out of that pool, rejoicing. And friend, I want to offer you today an opportunity to rejoice. Now, in the times past, we've had seasons in the life of our church where a lot of people have come to Christ, and we've created an opportunity for a lot of people to follow Jesus in believers' baptism. And a few Sundays, in fact, the last time we had this conversation, in the middle of this context, in the middle of this sermon, I invited those people who had not followed Jesus in believers' baptism by immersion to stand up and walk out and go through those doors and within 15 minutes show up in that baptistry. We call it spontaneous baptism. And some of you are right now beginning the process of freaking out. I feel it. Oh, no. Chill. You only say do it because you've already been baptized. Huh? No, chill. Here's how we're going to do it this year. Today, I just want to talk to you about it. And at the end of today, after I've talked to you a little bit about it, I want to invite you to take a step towards next Sunday when all these kids come back from camp and these high schoolers come back from mission trip and all our vacation Bible schools and all their parents. When we all get back together, we're going to have a special day of baptism celebration next Sunday, which means you got a whole week to argue with God and tell God why you should not follow Jesus in believers' baptism. So next week, what we're going to do today is give you a number. I'll give it to you in a minute. A number to text, which will start the conversation to get you in the schedule and be prepared for next Sunday to follow Jesus in believers' baptism. Now, quickly, I want to prepare you for the conversation you and the devil are going to have this week. Because the question is going to be, why should I? But I want to be sure to answer as many questions as we can so that when you have this conversation with God about will you, you give the right answer to the right one. Yes, Lord, is the answer. For example, let me answer a few questions like this one. Well, what is it anyway? What is baptism? If you're new to the church or you're new to Baptist life or you're new to the faith, that's a great question. What is that all about? Well, let me first tell you what baptism is not, because I really want to be clear on this. Baptism is not salvation. Baptism, water, going under, coming up, does not save us. Listen, we are saved, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. We are saved by grace through faith. We're saved again, how do I say it? By grace through faith, and that not of ourselves, not of works, even the work of baptism, lest anyone should boast. We are not saved by what we do, but what Christ has done. When we appropriate faith, it is the gift. When we say yes to Jesus, that's our response of faith to the finished work of Jesus. So I'm sort of creating a why should I not be baptized by telling you baptism doesn't save you. In fact, if you're not saved when you go into the baptistry, you will only be wet when you come out. Because it's just water. We don't have any like sprinkle this or do that or say this or ring. We don't do anything to that water to make it mystical or powerful. Listen to me carefully. You ready for this? It's just water. That's all it is. So all you'll be when you come out of it is wet, unless you have already placed your faith and trust in Jesus, turned from sin and self to trust in Him alone. So I want to be clear. I'm not setting you up here with false information. I'm building an urgency that doesn't exist. Baptism doesn't save us. I know there are other faith groups that believe it does. I'm not here to argue with them today. I'm simply here to say to you what baptism is, since I've said what it is not. Baptism is a testimony or a picture, or as it were, a representation, or even the word symbolic of what's already happened in us. It's already happened. And baptism is the telling of what's already happened in a powerful way. It's the representation of that. It's the picture of that. For example, do you see what I'm wearing here on my finger? What is this? Do you know what this is? This is a wedding ring. And this wedding ring, though it's tangible and visible and touchable, it's been on this finger with the exception of just about right there. That's about it. For 31 years. Now, let me say, as important as this ring is, thank you for clapping for Beverly, because I know you ain't clapping for me. And for the goodness of God to let me survive. No, that didn't sound right. I didn't mean that. That's not at all what I meant. This did not go where I'd hoped it would go. The grace that I need to be able to stay into a relationship at all, even with myself for 31 years, I don't... I'm sorry, honey. She just gave me the quit digging. Yep. Anyway, where this was going was, this is not the marriage. This is not the marriage. This is the symbol of my marriage vow and of my marriage commitment, right? I'm no less married without the ring on my finger, okay? I'm no less married. But it's a good bit more obvious that I am married with a ring on my finger, you see, because we know what this symbol means. We know what it represents. So when Beverly and I made our commitment to each other, we put the rings on each other's hands as a symbol or a statement or a picture of our commitment. And baptism is like that in the sense that baptism portrays a reality that we cannot see with our eyes because it's spiritual and it happens in the heart. So baptism is our public confession of faith in Jesus, and it is the representation of our union with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. Here's what we're saying in the waters of baptism, wherever that may be. We're saying, I believe and I'm with Jesus on the cross because I know he died for my sin. But thank God I'm with him also in his resurrection because I know it was by the power of God that he was raised again, which means that I can live again. So I'm saying in baptism, I'm with Jesus, and I'm saying I'm making a life-changing decision because this is not only the death and burial of Jesus, this is my death. That's what repentance is I'm dying to me and self. I'm turning over a new leaf. I'm done with doing things my way. So I'm dying to self, and I'm being raised to walk a new life. That's why we say when we baptize here, you've heard us say, we're identifying with Jesus, with him in his death and burial, and raised to walk in newness of life. That's what baptism is. It's that confession or that testimony or that statement outwardly of an inner reality. And along the way in so doing, I'm identifying not only with Jesus, but with Jesus' followers, with believers, just like they did in the early church, just like they did in the book of Acts. We are identifying together through this common experience, spiritually, of being buried in Christ and raised to walk in new life. Identifying spiritually with being united in Christ through the baptism of the Holy Spirit and raised to walk in newness of life in the power of the Holy Spirit. We're identifying with each other and saying, I'm with you, you and me, we're together, right? Here we go. You know, you could say you have to get the Baptist tattoo. But that's painful. And other people have objections with that sort of thing, so let's just do this. This will do. All right? You don't have to get a tattoo. This will do. All right? That's how we identify. It's how we connect. It's how we know we're a part of this thing, this body, because we have this common faith and shared fellowship through Christ and the Holy Spirit, and we make that known through baptism. So what is baptism? It's a confession of our faith, of our trust and belief in Jesus, our identification with him and with his body. Second question, who? Who should be baptized? Well, let me make that simple. Every person who has placed their faith in Jesus and is following after him. I know that other faith groups practice other ways and at other times. For example, some faith groups practice infant baptism. Some of us in this very room were baptized as infants. And while you may think that I will now tear off in an assault on those faith systems and those doctrines and beliefs, I will not, because here's what I want you to know. Your parents, if you were baptized as an infant, did a loving and kind thing for you. According to their system of beliefs and by way of their understanding, they did a very loving thing for you. Remember? Remember? No. Because that's what your loving parents did for you. So there's no reason to say, no reason to attack your parents. There's no reason to be upset with your parents. They did things that made you cry a whole lot more than that. I can assure you of that during those years. What they did for you was loving and kind. What I think the question for you now is, now that you're an adult or a student or an older child, and you now are making some decisions for yourself, what decision will you make? And see, if you've come to make a personal profession or belief in Jesus as a part of your thinking and by way of your actions and your decisions, now would be an important time to decide also to follow Jesus in believer's baptism in the way of the Bible and in the way that Jesus himself was baptized. This is your turn. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I'm not after your parents. I'm not after your infant experience. I'm just saying it's your turn to make this decision. It's your time now for yourself to follow Jesus in believer's baptism. And do it in the way that was done in the Bible. And let me answer the third question with that, and that is how did they do it in the Bible? Well, it's pretty clear that in the Bible, people were baptized as believers and by immersion, meaning they went under the water and they came back up. See, it was done after a person believed in Jesus as their confession or profession of faith. We see that in the text in Acts chapter 8, after he believed. And the way it was done, well, the word is baptizo, which means to dip or to immerse or to plunge beneath. That's why I emphasize they went down into the water and then they came out. Jesus was baptized when he came up out of the water. So we see that the practice, the common practice, and again, since it's not salvific, it's not worth getting into a fist fight over. But we teach, we believe the Bible really emphasizes this whole aspect of baptism as an immersion and a new birth experience. We see that. Why? Because it's the way it was done. Because it's the best picture of the gospel. I mean, it really is a presentation of the gospel. It's to the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. It's the best picture of my faith and trust in Jesus when I'm with Jesus in his death and burial, and I'm with Jesus in his resurrection to walk in newness of life. It's a great picture of the gospel. So we tend to stick to that as Baptists. That's the way it was done and the way it should be done even today. Fourth question, let me answer. Why should I be baptized? I suppose that you and I have plenty of reasons why we shouldn't. But the better question is, why shouldn't I? Why not? Well, Jesus was baptized, and I want to follow his example. He commanded that his followers baptize and be baptized. I want to be obedient because I'm not ashamed of the gospel or of what Jesus has done for me. And you don't get any more public and obvious in your faith than in the waters of believers' baptism because I want to be a part of the body of Christ, and this is how I connect and identify as a believer. And because I want to make God smile, who said when Jesus was baptized, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And the eunuch went on his way rejoicing, so why shouldn't I be baptized if afterwards I'm going to be grateful to have taken this very important next step of faith in following Jesus? And the fifth question, when should I be baptized? Well, if we learn anything from this text and from the Ethiopian eunuch's testimony, the answer would be as soon as possible. As soon as possible. Meaning that he could have waited till he got home, I suppose, or waited to a better place on the road, or maybe waited till next year at a more opportune time. But as soon as he came to an opportunity, he seized the moment, and he was baptized right there and right then. And he went on his way rejoicing. So for every moment past the opportunity, there is the absence of the opportunity to rejoice over a step taken in obedience to Christ and to his commands. So the answer to when is as soon as possible. In other words, next Sunday. Now, if the two of you come running up and chase me off stage and say, "Preacher, I got to do it today. Hey, we got water. We just got it right there, right now. We can do spontaneous baptism." And we have had people show up here and come to Christ and leave that room after praying to receive Jesus and say, "Man, I got to take the next step." And we baptize them in the next service. So certainly as soon as possible. But let me tell you when would be a good time. Today would be a good time to start the conversation that ultimately results in your baptism with family and friends present. Next Sunday. Invite your neighbors, invite your family, your friends, invite your one. I mean, invite anybody that you want to come see your confession and profession of faith in Jesus. Invite them next week. And here's how we're going to do it. We want to give you a number. And here's the number on the screen. And all you do is you start a new text. And then in the place where a number or name would go, you enter that number. Get it just exactly right. And here's how you'll know if you do. Because in the notes section, you're going to write the word baptism. Baptism. See the word? Baptism. And when you hit send, you're going to get an almost immediate response that says, "Thank you, got it. And here's a link to give us 5 pieces of information." You click on the link, it'll ask you some very basic information, and be sure to indicate the campus, Champions Campus, in the information you'll see there. It should come up by default when you text. If it doesn't, switch it to Champions. Your email, your mobile number, and your name, and any comments. Hit send. And then the next comment that comes back to you is, "We'll be in touch." And one of our pastors will give you a buzz this week or shoot you an email, give you the details, talk about timing, see if you have any questions, and lovingly walk with you towards next Sunday when you can come and invite all your folk to see and to experience your story, your testimony with you. That's all you got to do. It's just a simple step, a link, a number, a send. And if you want to bail at any point in this process, you'll have plenty of opportunity to say, "Never mind." Because I've been thinking about it this week, Pastor David, and I've come up with more reasons than you mentioned as to why I should not be baptized. You'll have plenty of opportunities to bail. You will. You have ultimately the decision to make because it's your confession. I promise you, we have never dragged anyone kicking and screaming into the baptistry. It may sound like that sometimes backstage, but it's really not what we're doing. We do not drag people. It just wouldn't be baptism if we did that. It'd be it'd just be a dunking, you know, and I think you can get in trouble for that. So we wouldn't do that. You got to want this. You got to desire this. You got to will this. And if you do, we will make it as easy as possible for you to take this next step. So the real simple question here, my friend, is as we close, is what's preventing you from following Jesus in this way? Why shouldn't you be baptized? I can promise you this. No matter what you have to overcome in the next few days and this week, to show up in that water in that baptistry next Sunday, it'll be worth it when you come up and out of there. Like I said, I've never had an alternative experience, but I've had many of these. The last time we had what we called a spontaneous baptism, an 87-year-old woman who had been a Christian for most of her life and never followed Jesus in believer's baptism and had all the best reasons why she shouldn't, couldn't, and wouldn't. But on that day, she did. And spontaneously, now, not with a week's notice, not with a chance to get all the family there, not with a chance to get all the details worked out, spontaneously, an 87-year-old woman stood up and walked right across here through those doors, and in about 12, 15 minutes showed up in the baptistry right there. After the service, I went out those doors, turned right to greet the people. There was over 100 people that day, as I recall, followed Jesus spontaneously and were baptized. That 87-year-old woman made eye contact with me, and she had this pierced look on her face, and I thought, uh-oh. She came straight to me. She grabbed me by both my arms, and she looked me right in the eye, and she said, "Preacher." I was mad. I didn't want to do this. I've never done this. I've almost made it my whole life without doing this. And I thought, well, here it comes. She's going to ruin my record, and I'm never going to be able to say it. It's never happened this way. And then she said, "And I just won't tell you thank you." And a big smile came across her face, and at 87 years old, hair and makeup wasn't an issue. What people thought wasn't an issue. What time of day or time of year or time of season or time of life wasn't an issue. What was an issue is she said, "I'm going to do it. I'm going to follow Jesus in believer's baptism." And she got up out of her seat. She walked over there. Now, if she'll do that spontaneously, what might you do with a week's notice? I'll tell you what you might do. Get every single person you know to come with you next Sunday and to sit out here and rejoice with you as you share the gospel through your own story and your own baptism and following Jesus. That's what you might do. Hey, listen. If you've never followed Jesus in believer's baptism, text the number, carry on the conversation, and we'll see you rejoicing right there next week.
We hope you were encouraged and challenged by what you heard today. If you'd like more information about Champion Forest Baptist Church, our service times, or how you can get connected, visit us at championforest.org. Thanks so much. Have a great day, and God bless.